Today's book reading is episode 16 of The Celtic Stone, read by the author, Nick Hawkes. A plane crash in Central Australia has ended Chris's flying career. He arrives in the Scottish Hebrides to inspect the tiny farming croft he has inherited from his grandfather. Whilst there, he plans to research the origins of a pendant worn by the Aboriginal bushman who rescued him from the crash. Incongruously, it was a Celtic cross.
The soft, subdued light of the northern latitudes was in sharp contrast to the harsh Australian light. Scotland's ambience was like a Harris tweed jacket full of tans, dark greens, grey and blues. Nothing outlandish, just the colours of scrubby heather, distant blue mountains and the storm-tossed lochs. Even the signage on the village shops were understated and demure. It was almost as if God had written on the grey sky overhead, "Please don't shout here." The 28-hour flight from Australia, plus 6 hours on British trains, had taken the edge off Chris's first experience of Scotland. However, all this travel had only got him as far as the Kyle of Loch Alsh. From there, he caught the 12:30 bus to Portree, a 3.5-hour trip, including a half-hour wait at Broadfoot. It seemed that the Scots did nothing in a hurry. Once in Portree, he needed to wait a further 90 minutes before a bus took him for the final hour's journey along Loch Snizzet to Dunvegan. He arrived at 6:30 p.m. as the light was starting to fade, exhausted and aching with pain. Chris had limited his luggage to one shoulder bag and a small travel case since he needed a hand free to hold his walking stick. Even so, he didn't find it easy hauling his luggage along. He trailed his case behind him on its trolley wheels as he limped across to the hotel where he had organised to meet Murdoch Keogh. Leaving his case in the foyer, he made his way through to the bar. It was populated at one end by three locals. Two wore dirty, heavy-knit woolen jumpers, and the third a shapeless jacket, shiny in places from grime despite its coarse knit. One of these two still had his yellow waterproof trousers on, having evidently come into the pub straight from his fishing boat. At the other end of the bar, a young man was chatting with the barman, a portly figure who was completely bald. The young man was dressed in jeans, walking boots, and a good-quality tweed jacket. His sandy-coloured hair was overlong, and Chris noticed the fingers around his whiskey glass were long and artistic. With his face glowing from the whiskey, he was in full flight telling a tale. "So there I am, with five unmarked, illegal lobster pots tangled around my keel, with this irate islander in his boat chugging alongside me, swearing at me and threatening to report me to the police." Chris addressed the group of three men at the bar standing nearest to him. "Excuse me, but I'm looking for Murdoch Keogh." The three men looked him up and down and immediately began to speak in Gaelic. Chris didn't understand what was being said, but the snub was clear enough. The pain in his head was murderous and he desperately needed to sit down. He turned to the young man at the other end of the bar. "I don't suppose you are Murdoch Keogh?" "My dear chap, I'm not sober enough to be Murdoch Keogh. Have you planned to meet him here?" Relieved to be hearing at least some civility from someone, Chris sighed in relief. "Yes." "Then I'd sit down and wait." The young man looked Chris up and down. "You do look rather knackered. Don't worry, Murdoch will be here soon enough if he has promised to meet you." Turning to the barman, Chris said, "I've left my travel case in the foyer. I hope that's okay." The barman shrugged. "Buy a pint of heavy and we'll call it even." Unsure of what a pint of heavy was, Chris simply nodded his assent before sitting down gingerly on the stool at the bar. It was a profound relief to be off his feet. The young man's grey eyes regarded Chris with continued interest. "Well, you don't look as if you've come here for the game, and it's a bit too early in the season for the best of it. So what brings you to Skye?" Chris rubbed his forehead to try and manage the pain in his head. "Just having a look." "Ah, tourist. It never ceases to amaze us locals that people would want to come to the Isle of Mists, except for the whisky, of course." He smiled and lifted up his glass. "Slantma!" Chris regarded him with his one good eye. "Well, you don't sound like a local." "Oh, and what do I sound like?" "Like a character invented by P.G. Wodehouse." "Ah, blame an English boarding school and 4 years at Oxford for that." Despite his headache, Chris's interest was stirred. What were you doing in Oxford? It was where I dedicated myself to unbridled revelry and all things bacchanalian, thinly disguised as a pursuit of a degree in English literature. Chris smiled. And what are you doing now? You sound distressingly like my literary agent, my dear fellow. She is continually asking me the same thing. You write books, then? I write books of brilliant, penetrating insight and piercing wit about the romantic places I travel to. He took another sip of his whiskey. Alternatively, you might like to believe my literary agent, who says that I simply sponge off my privileged upbringing and social networks to travel and write mildly amusing travelogues, which her expertise alone is responsible for getting published. The young man looked speculatively at Chris. And what about you? What do you do? Do I detect an Australian accent? Momentarily, Chris's heart gave a lurch. What did he do? Nothing. What could he do? Very little. Yeah, I come from Adelaide. Realising that more information was expected of him, he followed lamely. My ancestors came from these parts, so I thought I'd take a look. Good God! I hope you're not related to my family. We have a terrible genetic makeup, probably the inbreeding. My ancestors have been here for hundreds of years. Chris recognised the opportunity to ask a question about the Scottish missionary to inland Australia, the Reverend Arthur Daniel. I don't suppose you know a family from around here by the name of Daniel.
The Celtic Stone and other books in the Stone series by Nick Hawkes can be obtained from bookshops and online.